Sorry, there's no one at the mic. Good morning, Mountain View. Welcome to our Youth Sunday service. So today we're going to be focusing on origin stories. That's what our service is based around. And there will be some audience or congregation participation. So please participate all that you can and enjoy the service. Here's Nicholas with our announcements.
There's lunch with the pastor today. Are you interested in membership at Mountain View? Do you have some questions or are you just curious? Come to lunch with the pastor today after the 10:30 service in room 202. That's the youth room upstairs. The fun club is next Friday at 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. Parents drop off your kids for an affordable night and fun child care. Enjoy a night out. Kids will have pizza, play games, and watch a movie. It costs $5 per kid and $10 a family. We need volunteers to help make this happen, keep kids safe, and keep the community awesome. Please contact Larissa if you can help. There's an organ concert next Sunday at 3 o'clock. You can come hear impressive organ in a free concert from Susan Carl and Brian Dufresne next Sunday afternoon at 3. There will be a reception following the concert where you can meet the organists.
Scout Sunday, and it will also be a time for us to commission Kids Hope. How many of you have ever been a scout, Boy Scout or Girl Scout before? Wow, lots of scouts out there. Well, with that, I want you to stand as we welcome the flags and the color guard in.
Color guard, attention. Color guard, forward march. Color guard, halt. Color guard, please present the flag of the United States of America. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under Trump, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Two, please present the flag of Mountain View United Methodist Church. Color guard at ease. Congregation, you may be seated. All right.
I have been a Boy Scout for 6 years. And I'd like to tell you the story of how the Boy Scouts started. So Boy Scouts officially started in February of 1908 when Lord Robert Baden Powell published the book Scouting for Boys. The idea originated from his military book, Aids for Scouting, which he published, and what happened was when it got published, a bunch of younger boys got interested in it because of all the, you know, tracking methods and stuff that they thought was cool. So he decided to publish a more youth-oriented version, which included knot tying, use of tools, and navigation. Now, modern American Boy Scouting started in 1909 when Boy Scouts in America helped a stranded publisher named William Boyce out of the fog. Then in 1916, Lord Baden-Powell organized the Wolf Cubs, which wanted to become the Cub Scouts, which is exclusively for boys under the age of 11. Now I'd invite anyone who knows it to join me in the Scout Oath and Law. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here this morning. My name is Zoe Wagner. I've been a Girl Scout for 8 years, and I'm going to tell you about the symbol of the Girl Scouts, the trefoil. Raise your hand if you were ever a Girl Scout and wore the World Trefoil Pin. This membership pin is worn by all Girl Scouts and Girl Guides throughout the world. The golden trefoil on the blue background represents a sun shining over all of the children of the world. The three leaves on the trefoil represent the three parts of our promise, which is as follows. On my honor, I will try to serve God and my country, to help people at all times, and to live by the Girl Scout law. The gold vein represents a compass needle pointing the way. It reminds us to have a sense of direction in our work and our lives and to stay on course. The base symbolizes a flame, the flame of love for all people. There is an empty space in the circle of gold to show that there is always room for girls to join the Sisterhood of Girl Scouts, right here. The two stars represent the Girl Scout promise and the Girl Scout law. If you know the Girl Scout law, say it with me. I will do my best to be honest and fair, friendly and helpful, considerate and caring, courageous and strong, and responsible for what I say and do, and to respect myself and others, respect authority, use resources wisely, and be a sister to every Girl Scout. This symbol reminds us to live by these values and to be our best Scout selves. Please stand as you are able and greet one another.
Time to give your heart. Come, just as
and Carter and Michael Lee. What superheroes do you guys like? Wonder Woman. Who else?
Batman.
Black Panther.
Spider-Man.
Okay.
Yeah, so some of the things that make superheroes super is doing nice things. So what are some of the things you guys done that make you feel super because you did something nice? Like, maybe I held a door for someone yesterday. Like, what did you guys do? Yeah, there you go. Those are things that make people's days, and those make you feel like a superhero because you made someone feel nice.
Okay. Let's pray. Dear God,
please help us find
the superhero in us
to help others
and to be our best selves.
Amen.
Thank you, youth. Thanks, kids. You can head down with Larissa to Christ Carousel. And I'll invite Jane to come forward. Today, along with all of the other great things, is Kids Hope Commissioning. How many of you are familiar with Kids Hope? How many of you volunteer or are part of the prayer partners with Kids Hope? Brilliant. Well, we'll get to honor you in just a second. Jane is the coordinator of Kids Hope, and she's going to tell us a little bit of its origin story.
Love the pedestal. How can churches help at-risk students? That's the question that Kids Hope was trying to tackle in 1995. The founders did some research, and they got the answer: have responsible, caring adults spend time with the kids, starting in the earliest grades. So that was the answer in 1995. That's the answer still, according to Kids Hope, and I tend to agree, in 2019. Kids Hope modeled the solutions with one kid matched with one mentor 1 hour per week, with the behind-the-scenes prayer partners taking care of the supporting the mentors and kids pairing with prayers. So one kid identified by the school, one mentor and prayer partner provided by the church, and trained using Kids Hope materials by the church. And the match between the mentor and the student is done by the church. The church, Kids Hope said from that time, the most abundant resource in every church is the capacity for its members to share love, person to person, with no agenda and no expectations, just show up. So our church decided to show up. We do. Our church has been a Kids Hope church now for 10 years. Our origin story as a Kids Hope church starts with Tula Roberge, who is a member of our church here. And she was inspired by the work that the First Presbyterian was doing with Kids Hope and decided to form a Kids Hope group here. Got together some fantastic mentors, partners with Creekside Elementary in Martin Acres, and got us started on helping the children to do better, to not fall out of school, to stay a little longer. One of Tula's children just graduated high school, and Tula was there. That was cool. We use our, mentors and kids use our hour to do whatever works for them that day, snacking, board games, using the school library, using the school playground, doing the homework of, that the kid had that day. And we work hard to celebrate student birthdays and special days and take field trips and just have a really good time. So we show up and try to show the children that they're worth it. So thank you for the mentors that you give, the support you give to the mentors and prayer partners for giving the support to the mentors, and let me know if there's always kids on the waiting list. Let me know if you know of a mentor I should talk to.
Thank you, Jane, for all your coordinating and your help. And for all of you who are prayer partners or mentors, I would ask you to stand and come to this middle aisle. Part of the ways I like to commission people is that, well, this is a community effort. So these are our representatives in the school, but we help support them. So what I'm going to ask is that everyone else stand up and come to the person closest to you and lay a hand on them. If you can't reach them, lay a hand on someone near them. And we will pray for them. A commissioning is a way in which we say, we are with you, we're supporting you, we're praying for you, and we send you out to do God's good work. So let us pray. Holy and awesome God, we thank you for these mentors, these prayer partners of Kids Hope. We thank you for Jane for coordinating and instilling a leadership in all of this group. We pray for the kids that are impacted by all of Kids Hope work, their teachers, their school, their parents, and their families. We ask that this community be buoyed and may it blossom because of the work that these people do, the lives that they share and the love that they share with one another. Take our support and fill these people with it so that they can go into the world and share your love with their kids and the families that are supporting them as well. We thank you, God, for our call and for taking us out into the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you find your seat, you may have received a little card from the usher as you came in, and that is going to be a part of our prayer time. After we gather prayers and during Amazing Grace, I'm going to invite you to take that prayer card and pin it to our fishing net. And on that prayer card, you can write a prayer that you want God to hold. Maybe it's a picture or a phrase that you need God to tend to gather up and to know that it's yours and know that God will hold it and cherish it.
How did your week start? How did it end? What are the people and situations you encountered this week?
What are the things that you encountered this week? What prayers would you share with your community? Yes, Wendy.
Ryan had Achilles surgery on Thursday, and so he has to keep it elevated above his heart for the next 2 weeks and possibly longer, so hold him in your prayers.
So Ryan Kirkpatrick had Achilles tendon surgery. He needs to keep his foot elevated for 2 weeks and try not to die from boredom. So keep him in your prayers. Others that you would lift up today. Yeah, Nancy.
So I'm trying to think of my brother here. He almost lost his home, and we worked it out, so he was able to stay.
Thank you. Thanksgiving that Peter, you still have a home and you belong there. Thanks. Yes. So for Vanessa, whose cancer markers are going down. Others that you would lift up today. Yes, Stephen.
One of my best friends celebrated the birth of his son this past week. They started their child journey at the same time we started with Eleanor. So it's been a very long and finally road to fruition. Prayers for the little one. He's still in the NICU. He's healthy. He's not life-threatening, but they're wanting to keep him on their own.
And what's the child's name?
Joshua.
Keep Joshua in your prayers. A miracle to this family that he might be well and grow. Any others? Yes, Bill.
Just let you know that Bruce and I
Brilliant. Bruce Thompson and is newly hitched to Waverly Hansen, 81 years young and loving life still. So it's all good. It's all good. Any others that you would share? Yes, Pua. Brilliant. Aunt Cecilia, who turned 95 years young. David. Kay, who is having oral surgery. Thank you, David. And Stephen.
My grandmother turns 104 on Monday.
Stephen has a grandmother who is turning 104 on Sunday. So, hallelujah. That's great. Okay. I also just want to lift up the Way Forward, which will, it's the special general conference that will happen in 2 weeks. And there was a letter sent out to the clergy of this conference to put together some care packages that would allow people to know that they are welcome and that we are excited to know one another throughout the Global United Methodist Church. If you are interested in putting together some care packets, let me know and I can give you some details. But we pray for all of those who go that they might see Christ in one another. Again, a reminder of those little slips. You can put a prayer or a picture on them. And as Annie prays, you can pin them up and also during Amazing Grace.
Let us pray together. Who do we follow? A teacher. You were a good teacher, full of wisdom, a moral compass, guidance for the journey. Who do we follow? A prophet. You were indeed a prophet, bringing God's word of love, justice, and freedom for the journey. Who do we follow? A friend. You are certainly a friend. To outcast and sinner, feeding the weak, lightening the load for the journey. Who do we follow? All of these, none of these. For as this world's savior, you are all of these and so much more. As you take the very least of us and make the very most of us, who do we follow? Jesus Christ, our savior. Please say the Lord's Prayer with us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you stand as we sing our next song? Ushers come forward, know that all that are stories are made by the generosity that we receive from one another, whether that's financially, a hug, a word of encouragement, or being there because you're worth it. We ask that you give generously for the work of God through this place and into the world.
I'll be reading Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Master sitting on a throne, high, exalted, and the train of his robes filled the temple. Angel seraphs hovered above him, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two their feet, and with two they flew. And they called back and forth, one to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the God of the angel armies. His bright glory fills the whole earth." The foundations trembled at the sound of the angel voices, and then the whole house filled with smoke. I said, "Doom, it is doomsday. I am as good as dead. Every word I've ever spoken is tainted, blasphemous even. And the people I live with talk the same way, using words that corrupt and desecrate. And here, I've looked God in the face, the King, God of the angel armies." Then one of the angel seraphs flew to me. He held a live coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with the coal and said, "Look, this coal has touched your lips, gone your guilt, your sins wiped out." And then I heard the voice of the Master, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" I spoke up, "I'll go, send me." Thank you.
Good morning. I will be reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once he was standing on the shore of Lake Genesaret, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. He noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. He climbed into the boat that was Simon's and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Sitting there, using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. When he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let your nets out for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets." It was no sooner than done. A huge haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell to his knees before Jesus. "Master, leave. I'm a sinner and can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." When they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everyone with him. It was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons, co-workers with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." They pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
The superhero movies fill the theaters with epic events, characters, and stories. The heroes have cool gear, awesome powers, and bravery to face the wildest and most dangerous of circumstances. While all these are exciting moments, their origin stories draw us closer to them in some ways, making us feel like friends, or at least super fans. Origin stories are everywhere, calling individuals and groups to something new, amazing, difficult, and important. The disciples and the prophets, like Isaiah, have origin stories. All of these stories can remind us of our own and the ways we live once we claim our own heroic qualities. This morning, we'll reflect on the scripture passages and themes from superhero stories, hear personal reflections from the youth, and have a time to share with each other.
We met Simon, James, and John at the beginning of Luke 5. All of them have been fishing all night and were clearing their nets. Suddenly, Jesus jumps in Simon's boat and tells him to push out. Not exactly a fast getaway from a growing crowd, but a bit of water to separate them would give Jesus just enough space to preach without being overwhelmed. Meanwhile, Simon is sitting there, waiting, interested, bored, tired, and confused, maybe all of the above. When Jesus finished talking, he looked at Simon and said, "Throw out your nets." He, James, and John eventually threw them out and haul in more fish than their nets or boat can handle, and this scared them. It's interesting to think about who we are in everyday, normal, nothing new kind of life. Simon, James, and John were fishermen and had probably taken up this trade from their fathers. In those times, people rarely traveled very far from their hometown. No Uber lifts yet, so they lived with who they knew, doing what they knew to do. Often a trade passed down through the family. And still, all of us have particular talents and personalities that help us in those efforts or dry up when not used. Origin stories usually tell just enough of the before story to help us know and like the normal everyday person. These people might have great skills like Dr. Strange, who is an expert surgeon, or like Simon, who is a great fisherman. Sometimes we even learn about their downfalls in the origin stories. Dr. Strange was an arrogant and self-centered man. Simon was strong-willed and tended to avoid being put on the spot unless it was his idea. So origin stories uncover who we start out as and can change when we are called into action or forced to go a different path. Doctor Strange used his great intellect to calm his mind and his forceful personality for good. Simon became Peter and a fisher of people, gathering people to know the good news of God, and he rarely took no for an answer. Now we will hear Emily's story.
So when I was in second grade, I started to notice that I really, really liked reading books. I would always be over in the book nook during our free time during class, and I think I read through the entire Magic Tree House series in one school year. And there's probably like 200 books. It was a challenge, but it was lots of fun. And I have found that reading has really helped transform my life. I'm in book club at school right now. I've made the Battle of the Books team this year as well, which is super fun. And books really have helped me through a lot of things. They help me calm down when I'm really anxious. They have brought me and my friends together. Some of my very best high school friends met at my middle school book club. So books have really changed me for the better, I think, because it has also helped with my academics. Since I really enjoy reading now, I do better in school. So I really think origin stories aren't necessarily when I was born. That's not my origin. I think it was a big part of me starting to enjoy reading. That was my origin, because it helped me kind of mold myself into who I am today, and it'll probably keep affecting me throughout my life. That's my origin.
The first reflection question is, what do origin stories say about who we start out as? Discuss with a neighbor.
Thank you, friends, for sharing. I know there's a lot of great stories out there. We'll continue to talk throughout the rest of this message, but keep each other in mind. And we'll hear about Isaiah now. The disciples were called by Jesus, but God had called so many before the disciples. These people that God called were to be his servants and messengers, and we call them prophets. In the Old Testament, all the prophets had interesting origin stories. Moses saw a burning bush, Hosea had to marry a prostitute, and Isaiah encountered God in all the holy glory as an angel burned his lips with coal. The prophet Isaiah, who lived just before the time of the exile to Babylon, was familiar with temple life and the rules. His father and grandfather had served as priests, but none of his relatives have seemed to have met God like Isaiah did. Isaiah describes seeing the train of God's robe filling the temple, thus showing that God is so incredible and uncontainable that the robe was all that Isaiah could take in. And being faced with holy God, he admitted that he was imperfect and not the optimal choice for God's mission. But God was willing to prepare Isaiah, an angel of God burned his lips with a hot coal, an act to symbolize being refined and authorized to deliver God's message. God entrusted Isaiah with a very difficult task to tell the rebellious people of Israel to follow God and love him. And to this call, Isaiah said yes. In fact, he's the only prophet throughout the Old Testament to actually volunteer. One ingredient of every superhero origin story is the idea of being chosen. Some people will hesitate, like Moses did. I can't speak, and I certainly can't lead people. He felt that he couldn't do this because he stuttered. Some people run away, like Jonah. And some people, like Isaiah, say, pick me right away. Origin stories can tell us who we have become and who we will become, who we have been and who we will become, especially when we say yes. And now we'll hear a story from Carter.
Today I'm going to talk about my life map. What is a life map, you may ask? Well, a life map is about past, present, and future. One of the biggest things that happened in my past was being born. I mean, if I wasn't born, I wouldn't be here. Another big thing that happened was my brother being born and learning how to walk. On my third birthday, I got a strider. I spent many days striding around my backyard on my enormous track. When my parents landscaped the yard, they added a track to cut out down on grass. They had no idea that it would provide me with endless fun and the opportunity to do my first bike training. On my fourth birthday, I got a pedal bike. I insisted to add the training wheels like my favorite TV character, Caillou, but my parents convinced me that I didn't need them. Sure enough, I was a natural. Then on my fifth birthday, I did my first triathlon. I was the youngest participant in the bike, the 1 mile run, and the 100 meter swim. That year, I also flew on a plane by myself to North Carolina. All of these experiences helped me to lead who I am today. I am outstanding at mountain biking. I am very confident, and in my future, I want to live in a sprinter van and travel the world with my bikes. I'm going to live a simple life. I am very passionate about the earth. I read an article about how the Native Americans felt responsible about how they left our earth for seven generations, and most of us don't even care about tomorrow. I think we should think more about our present and how we should keep our earth a cleaner and happier place. I want the world to be cleaner than when I was born. I can help by keeping God's beauty alive, living a simple life, and practicing environmental responsibilities. I can achieve all this through mountain biking and the earth. Thank you.
Thank you, Carter. As the spirit singers make their way to their spot, I want you to consider this next question. And as they sing, let it ponder and roll around in your hearts and heads. What do origin stories say about who we will become?
Shall I become? possibility. I am the present, I am the future. I have so much to give to the world. I am love, I am hope, I am a servant. I am peace. I am a voice that's singing, a message of beauty and light. I am brightly shining.
Both the disciples and Isaiah experienced a momentous event that changed their trajectories and stories. This element occurs in all heroes' stories. A normal life is interrupted and forced to respond to something new and amazing. Peter Parker is a normal teenager visiting a science exhibit when a spider bites him. All of a sudden, he is able to move just like a spider. Superman was living with his parents on a different planet when they sent him on a rocket towards Earth because their home planet of Krypton was about to explode. Normal life for him on Krypton was extraordinary and super on his new planet. So many have momentous moments that shift their stories for good. For example, Jesus' baptism and walk through the wilderness prepare him for the rest of his life. Also, the disciples let Jesus on their boat, and he called them to follow. Isaiah's lips are burned, thus making him worthy and ready to be God's messenger. Lastly, John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, was in a terrible storm at sea while captaining his slave ship. It scared him so much that he recognized that he had to change his life and leave this awful work in order to do good for God. A moment or event can transform how we interact with all around us, including God. Next up is Abby's story.
I have always been very musical. I sing in spirit singers and for fun. I dance, I play violin, I even have musical parents. My dad is the director of music here at Mountain View, and my mom loves singing. About 4.5 months ago, my Aunt Molly died from brain cancer. She and I were very close, and I was very sad when she passed away. As like anyone who has gone through grief, I didn't have very much motivation, and I was also trying to manage with my grief. I needed to find something to do that could somehow motivate me to move forward into the light instead of stay in the darkness. This thought made me think about doing something musically related, being the musician that I am. One time, I was at home babysitting my sister, and I was listening to a song called On the Wings of a Dream by John Denver. The song was about someone who had passed away. As I was listening to the lyrics, I started to realize that the song was all about love. It showed all the love that someone had for another person who had passed away. I could relate, and that was my first analysis of song lyrics. I recently finished a big history project that involved a lot of analysis. My topic, of course, was musical. I focused on the messages in Michael Jackson's music and how they reflected his feelings and love for people and the world. Through analyzing those messages, I could relate them back to me and use the messages to show who I am. One song in particular, called Man in the Mirror, made a big impact on me. The song showed lots of love for the world, but it also showed my philosophy that we need to look at ourselves and make a change in order to make the world a better place. It really showed my care for the world and the love I have for everyone. When I was little and would sing that song, I would simply just think I was singing a pretty song. Now that I'm 14 and singing it, I realize that I'm singing my philosophy and my passions. It pushes me to spread this message to people and keep going to improve. Music analysis has helped me get through my personal grief, but also helped me support my best friend after she lost her dad to cancer about 2 weeks ago. I was able to send her some songs that did bring her comfort. Music analysis really changed the way I look at life and shows my musical origin. Now, when a song I like comes on, I analyze it to find the true meaning and how it relates to me, which I was trying to find in myself after my aunt died. I try to analyze at least one song a day and share it with family members or friends or other people. This is the true musical origin of me. Sometimes life throws hard and difficult things at us, but if you find a new origin of an aspect of your life, you can get through it and help others too. This origin really shows that I want to care for others and also shows my constant love for music.
The next reflection question is, what are the momentous elements that shift a story? You can talk to your neighbor.
Thank you all for sharing. With all of our lives, including the normal and extraordinary days, we need motivation and companions. When Jesus called Simon, James, and John to put down their nets, he also said, "Follow me. Not just come this direction, but watch, learn, and do what I do. I will be your teacher and mentor." When Jesus says later, "Take on my yoke," that is a reference to his particular ways. Each rabbi had his own unique method and wisdom to instill in their students, and that was called the yoke. Jesus said, "My yoke, my way of doing life, is light and good. The disciples thus had a teacher, a friend, and a way of living their lives to give them focus, motivation, and encouragement for each day. Isaiah found motivation in the people he lived with and spoke to, really caring deeply for their well-being, even when the message he shared expressed looming destruction. Isaiah knew God was fulfilling God's plan through enemies, so Isaiah wanted the people to really listen intently, to hear, change, and be well, following and loving God. We all need others to guide us and inspiration at the beginning and throughout our lives. These people can be mentors, parents, and friends, or even enemies who motivate us to be different. Even our ideas, dreams, and experience can serve as motivation and provide wisdom. Batman had Alfred, his butler and confidant, to help him overcome his fears and use his wealth and anger for good. Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy had lots of friends, including Groot. Harry Potter had his best mates, Hermione and Ron, and mentors and teachers in Dumbledore and Hagrid. Our origin stories start a new thing in us, so the middle that concludes difficult times or confusing circumstances need to be filled with companions and inspiration to keep on the journey. Now, Nicholas's story.
So my origin story is about my sports, I guess. So I've been doing sports my entire life, and my parents saw a flare in my desire to do sports and immediately had me try out all kinds of different sports, and including baseball, basketball, gymnastics, swimming, soccer. I found gymnastics to be my favorite, and I started training almost immediately. I've been doing gymnastics for about 10 years and would not be able to go to practice every day without my mom. She drives me to gymnastics practice every day and takes me all over the place. I have also been in scouts since first grade. My mom volunteers to help and takes me to scouts and signs me up for stuff like campouts and service projects. Scouting helps me build character and teaches me life skills. My mom has changed me and made me who I am today.
The reflection question is, who is a part of your story? Mentors, enemy, idea, parent, friend, and or experience. Discuss with your neighbors.
Thank you for sharing. Oh gosh, that was loud. Okay. As we read in the Gospel of Luke, the disciples dropped their nets and followed Jesus. After some clarifying questions, they didn't hesitate. But one question that may have been on their minds, but no one could answer, was, what does this mean? What's going to happen? Luke is also the author of the book of Acts, where he reveals the answers to these very questions. The disciples and thousands of other people received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection. They had learned and seen all that they needed from Jesus to go and do likewise. In the time between Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection 3 days later, the disciples were utterly sad and scared. They really had no idea what they would do. For 3 years, they had been wandering around with Jesus, who some people called crazy or rebellious. They had experienced amazing things, but after Jesus' death, it all seemed over. Do we go back to fishing? Do we go back to our trades and families? What will become of us? Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost answered their fears and gave them the next step in their story. Jesus had called them to be fishers of men and women, and so they did. Throughout the book of Acts, we read how they healed the sick, cared for the poor, and shared Jesus' message. They brought in more and more fish, more and more people, to know God fully. The third element in hero stories is that the new powers are used for good. At first, Spider-Man used his abilities for selfish purposes, but after his uncle died by a street thug, he turned his efforts toward doing good in the world. In our own stories, we can name the powers and talents unique to us. Sometimes it'll be obvious how to use them, and at other times, fear, selfishness, or confusion might get in the way. And yet, each of us can choose to use our powers and gifts with Jesus in mind, following as the disciples did to do amazing and even greater things.
So as we go into our final song today, I want you to reflect on one final question. This is the one that will take you into the world. How has God used your story to share God and his love in the world? That's the question that we want to have you take into the world today. So with that in mind, will you stand with us? We're going to sing our final song, and it's a bit of a gospel song. So if you feel like moving or clapping, you are welcome to it. Yes, Annie, you can do your stuff. Susan, I'm sorry. I didn't read my own script. And Annie has one more thing to share with us. So Annie, share with us, please.
All right. God has called each of us, shifted our stories just enough to make us different, and enabled us to do good and share God's message of love. The origin stories reminded us of where we started and who we will become while connecting with mentors and inspiration. This is the hero's story. May we be so bold as to claim it like Isaiah and say, "Here I am, Lord."
Amen. Thank you, Annie. Let's sing. Final blessing, I want to first thank each of you, Caleb and Emily and Michael Lee, Grayson and Carter and Natalie, Annie, Nicholas, Zoe, and Abby. Thank you all for leading us in worship, for sharing your stories and telling us God's message through your own lives. You've heard it, go and do it, and with God's grace and peace this day. Amen.